Okay, let's see your Bibles this morning.
Word.
Let's see your pens. And your lesson plan. Are y'all awake this morning? Okay, say hello. Take 30 seconds. Say hello to someone next to you. If we could open those curtains up, it'd be great. Thank you. Thank you. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus 14. Exodus 14. There is a little verbal war going on ESPN between two athletes, Terrell Owens, or they call him T.O., and he's talking trash against Ray Lewis. And they played each other last week, but the verbal wars keeps going on. And before the football game last Sunday, Terrell Owens was saying, listen, if you want to shut me up, just keep me out of the end zone. But if you're not going to keep me out of the end zone, don't, you know, you shut up. And basically what he was saying was, you either put up or shut up. You know, what's going to happen on Sunday is all that really matters. And when we decide to make a decision to walk with God, we decide to make a decision to be holy, to read your Bible, to be committed. It's something that you're either going to do or you don't do, but don't talk about it so much. You either put up or shut up. You could talk about, I'm gonna, but at some point in your life, you gotta do it. Amen? And many of us have been talking about, you know, I'm gonna change, I'm gonna let God transform my life, I'm gonna be a better this, a better that. But really, it's time to just do it. Now, when the Israelites were delivered from bondage, Moses went and confronted Pharaoh. There were 10 plagues, it was lice, it was frogs, it was darkness, it was death of the firstborn. They were delivered, we saw that last week. And now they're walking out. And all of a sudden, they're going to start to complain, start to want to go back and start to cry. Next week, we're going to see more about them murmuring, constantly murmuring against Moses. And what about this? What about that? And either you're going to walk out of Egypt and out of slavery, and either you're going to go into the promised land and whatever God has promised you, or you are not. But don't walk out of Egypt and complain about wanting to go back. Do one or the other. And so we're going to look at five components about walking out of slavery. If you look in your notes, let's write the first one down. First, you have to beware of the enemy's plan to bring you back into bondage. Beware. When you say, Lord, I want you to take over my life, and Lord, I want to be a new person, always know that the enemy, the devil, your friends, the people who have been miserable with you, always know that those people are going not want to let you go. They want you back. Same thing what you saw here. Let's read chapter 14, verse 1. It says, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, that they turn and camp by Pi-hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea opposite Baal Zephon. You shall camp before it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered in the land, and the wilderness has closed them in. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants were turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? So he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. Also, he took 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt with captains over them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with boldness. So the Egyptians pursued them, all horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, camping by the sea, by the place of the word I cannot pronounce. The Israelites left. Pharaoh said, what are we thinking? We let all our servants and our slaves go for free. We didn't get anything for it. So they changed their mind and they started to pursue them. Whenever you decide, I am going to walk with God, I'm going to start reading my Bible every day. I'm going to start tithing. I'm going to start serving. I'm going to start praying. I'm going to start forgiving. The enemy, the devil, is going to try to get you back. It's not going to let you just do that without trying to, you know, if you're an adulterer and you're trying to get away from adultery and be faithful to your wife or your husband, hoochie is going to come after you. Amen? Don't say amen too loud. You might get fined. You might expose yourself. Just say, yeah, I heard about that. Amen. Yeah. I see that it happened before. If you do drugs or alcohol, we all know that the pipe and the bottle and all that stuff speaks, doesn't it? Calls you. When I used to do cocaine, it would call me. If you're an alcoholic, the bottle will call you. What does that mean? You know what it means. You just get these little, come get me. I'm at the liquor store. I'm in the closet, or I'm underneath the sink, wherever you hide it. Whatever your sin is, it's going to call you. It's not just going to let you go. You are in a spiritual battle, and it's going to be flesh against spirit constantly. And you have to understand that. So when you start to get the Lord, don't think, oh, I can't do this. You can't in your own strength. That's why we have Christ. But that battle is going to be waging. The devil is not, he is relentless. He's going to bombard your senses with information on the television, on the radio, on commercials, on the internet, walking through the mall, wherever you are. You're going to get tempted for whatever your vice is. Constantly. That's why you need to trust Christ constantly and rely on him constantly. Next thing you need to do, number two, is you need to resist fearing back. I know it's not proper English, but just flow with me. Fearing back. What does that mean? Does that mean as they were walking out, when as soon as they saw obstacles and hard times, they got scared and they wanted to go back? Fear is always going to cause you to want to go back to where it's comfortable, familiar. It's going to cause you to think smaller, not take chances, shy away from the obstacles. Look at chapter 14, verse 10. It says, Pharaoh drew near, and the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, so that they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And they said to Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt, you have taken us away to die in the wilderness. Why have you dealt so with us to bring us out of Egypt? Is it this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. In other words, listen, we liked being slaves. It wasn't that bad. You ever wonder why people keep going back to prison? It's predictable. You get food every day. You got a place to sleep. You don't have to pay rent. They understand the system. They're more comfortable with the system and the dependability of the system. So it's easier in some ways than being out, because now you have all this responsibility, and that's a new thing for some. Oh, I like being miserable. You know, some people love to be miserable because they're comfortable with being miserable. They're familiar with being miserable. You remember, when the Egyptians left, God was going to take them in a place they hadn't been before. So they had to trust him by faith. And whenever you leave bondage in any whatever form that bondage is, there's going to be newness to that path. And there's going to be obstacles. And the devil will always show you those obstacles and make them to be something they're not. The worst case scenario he will bring to your mind. You're going to fail. You're going to be broke. You're going to be depressed. You're never going to get married, and you're going to be depressed or grow old and never be happy. But let me tell you something. Just because you don't get married doesn't mean you don't have to be happy. He's going to bring all the worst case scenario. Matter of fact, look in your notes. I'm going to give you a little acronym for fear. First word is false expectations. Appearing what? Real. False expectations appearing real. I am going to be a failure. I am going to be homeless. I am going to lose everything I own. I am never going to be able to recover from this. My life is going to be over. How many of people in here have ever failed before? And you're not dead. Your life is not over. How many of you failed and you're actually glad you failed because of what you learned through it? Amen. Remember that? Thank God that relationship didn't work out. Thank God that business went under. Thank God I didn't get that promotion and I got moved to another job. Thank God. And but at the time, what was the devil telling you? Oh, God is not good. And remember that you prayed and it didn't happen. Oh, and you're like, oh, and then all of a sudden it happened and you were like, oh, oh. You mean I don't have to drive the 20-year-old Honda anymore? And I can get a new car. You mean I don't have to go out with her anymore? Or him anymore? Yeah. You know what they says? You brought us out here to kill us. You know what? God's not setting you up. God doesn't want you to give your life to him so he can set you up. He wants to bless you. Don't let fear turn you back. Don't let the unknown turn you back. Look at the obstacle. As a matter of fact, look at the next point. Next point, point number three. Focus on faith forward. Focus on faith forward. What does that mean? When God puts an obstacle in your life, and by the way, there will always be obstacles to success the whole way. Even when you get there. When you get to the top, there's someone irritating at the top waiting for you to get there. Or something. It's part of the process. It's not just part of the beginning of the process. It's part of our existence. It's even there. That's why if you know that going in, then you don't have to be shocked when it happens as though it's something strange or as though it's not supposed to happen. Some people think when they get obstacles, that's the Lord's way of saying, don't do it. That's not in the Bible. That's not true. That's not a true statement. Now, sometimes it is true, but that's not truth. The difference is truth is Jesus. And wherever you walk, there's always going to be obstacles. Now, when you see the obstacle, you can pray faith forward. Lord, how do I deal with this? You go through it. You go under it. You go above it. You go around it. Or maybe the obstacle's there to turn you to where God wants you to go. But the obstacle does not represent the end of your life. It does not represent the end of your dream. It does not represent the end of dreaming. You ever, I drove to Sacramento last year, 2 years ago, I can't remember what it was, and I got there like in 7 hours. Is that fast? You know, it was nighttime. The speed limit changed when it was night. Actually, the speed limit's like, what, 85 going up there? 75? Yeah, you know. Anyway. And once you get past L.A., it's like that, right? You could put cruise control and just not even use your hands if you got a good alignment, and it'll just go straight. Go to Sacramento. It's boring. The fun roads are these, right? We never, I shouldn't say never, but aren't these the fun roads to drive? You know what you're doing? You're avoiding obstacles. You don't complain. Unless you're really impatient. But this is a fun ride. Especially if you have like a motorcycle, you lean, want, boring. I don't do that, but I ain't that stupid. You know what God's gonna do in your life? He's gonna put an obstacle and you go, okay, I gotta go over here. Oh, okay, I gotta get to turn. Or I get to go right through it. Or I get to jump over it. Or I get to dig underneath it. That's the fun part. What the devil says is, stop sign, end of your life. No, stop sign means you stop, then you go. Curve in the road, end of your life. No, it means you get to go right, go left. What these people said? We're going to die. Look at verse 13. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he has accomplished for you today. For the Egyptians, whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. You have to understand that the Lord is fighting for you. I was on a plane yesterday, witness to this guy. He was he's a doctor and he works for a biochemistry lab research. He does research. And so we started talking about, I said, what are you researching?
He says, well, you know, we're trying to make some medicines to help cells live longer. I was like, do all cells live the same length of time? Oh, no. Skin cells live 3 days. Your skin, every 3 days you shed your skin. I said, I said, so every 3 days your skin cells die. He said, every 3 days your skin cells die and they come off. When you see dust in the air in your house, that's skin. It's nasty, ain't it? Go home and shine a light, you see a little stuff floating? A lot of that is skin. It comes off. And what was ironic is that cells, some cells live longer. They used to think brain cells never die, but they do. But they live longer, several years. But all cells live different lengths of time. And he says, we have these we're trying to come up with this medicines that will make them live, you know, a month, 6 months longer, blah, blah, blah. So we started talking about stem cells. And if you don't know what a stem cell is, stem cells are the cells when you are first, when a woman becomes first pregnant and the embryo is between 1 and 12 days old, the cells are dividing and all the cells have the same DNA in them. You have 3 trillion cells. Every cell has the same DNA, the same amount of information. And around day 12 or 12, 14, these cells differentiate. Key word you understand. Because when a cell differentiates, a general cell that has not decided to be a skin cell, a heart cell, a bone cell, before they decide to what they're going to be, that's a stem cell. That means it can go any way it wants. That's what stem means, okay? You could take that cell, and make a whole person from it. Because all the DNA is the same in every cell. You can make anything, even a whole human. In the first cell, when your mother became pregnant with you, you were one cell called a zygote. That one cell had all the information to make everything that makes you who you are. It divided, the same information went into the cell. It divided again, same information went into the cell. In 12 days, they differentiate, so this cell will say, I'm gonna go make a heart. This cell will say, I'm gonna go divide and make bones. This cell will say, I'm gonna go divide and make muscles. I'm gonna go divide one cell and make your brain. And all the chemicals in your brain, all the hormones in your brain, all the electricity in your brain, I'm gonna do that. And they all tap into the same DNA, but just a different part of it. Are you with me? Just say yes, because I can't go back and explain it again. Anyway. So, and I noticed, so I'm asking him, I says, how do they know when to differentiate and what to become? How does a cell that's not a person or thinking thing say, I'm going to make the heart? How does it know that?
Well, you know, we understand the mechanism, you know, we do this certain enzymes.
I says, we know the mechanism, but do we know why the mechanism knows when to do it?
He goes, well, that's a very good question. We know that.
And here's what he said to me. We kind of know the real complex things, but these simple questions you're asking are really the big questions, aren't they? I said, yeah. I said, how do we know that? He said, well, I said, we don't do it. He said, no, we really don't. Now, what you have to understand, which is so ridiculously amazing, if you could just, let's just think of your heart for a minute, something that we've seen pictures of, because the brain is too complicated. Your heart has tissues, it has valves, it has little ligaments, it has electricity. Your heart produces its own electrical impulse on its own. It's the SA node and the AV node, and sends an electrical impulse, boom, boom, from one point to another. And if you looked at the heart, you and I, you would not be able to see it. It's just an area in your heart that you can see it if you test for electrical current, but it doesn't look like any different than the heart. When that one cell decided to make the heart, it had to access all the information in the DNA to not only create the heart, shape the heart, put the valves in the right places, create the right tissue, create the electrical producing SA node and the electrical circuits, wires, go through your heart to take the electricity through your heart. All that information was in your original cell when you were conceived. And I said, Doc, isn't that just like amazing? I says, Doc, do you believe in God? Do you believe in God? He goes, well, and I had my Bible. I was reading my Bible. He goes, well, not like you. I says, but Doc, you understand there's no way that could have figured it out itself. He says, no, I do believe that something I said, let's talk about the brain.
He goes, no, we can't even.
He literally said that. He says, no, that is just because we don't even know. We don't even know what we don't know. To even tell you how amazing it is. It's amazing, but we don't even know how amazing because we don't even know what we know. I says, Doc, how much information is on the DNA? He says, we think it's 333,000 genes. I said, they counted it? He said, yeah. He said, they were shocked at how few they were. I said, why? Because the fewer they are, the more amazing it is, huh? He said, yeah. He said, oh, it's just, I said, God, Doc, that's God. He said, that's God. So he was, you know, he literally was talking like this, right? It was like 2 hours we were going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. My point of telling you all that is this. Because I want to challenge you to go home. Just look at your eye, and how the eye works is one of the wonders and the marvels of the world. That all the information to make your eye was in that original cell. All the information to make your finger work. Your hormones, the chemicals, your white blood cells that monitor themselves. When I was going back east, I met this guy, and he makes this medicine to increase your white blood count for people who take chemo. Because if you increase your white blood count, you can take more chemo. I said, what if I took the medicine to increase my white blood count when I had no chemo? I just want to take it now. I just want to be more healthy now. You know what he said? He says, your white blood cells will monitor how many are in your body, and they will stop reproducing. I said, how do they know that? He goes, well, I don't know. I never thought about that. I said, so they monitor how many white blood cells are in your whole body? He goes, yeah, they just regulate. They self-regulate, so they think. He goes, yeah, and they communicate to each other. I said, how do they know that? He goes, I don't know. I said, why don't you go back to your pharmaceutical company that you represent and ask them, and I'm going to tell you what they're going to tell you.
Well, you know, there, we
really don't know. The answer is God. God. My point in telling you that is this. When you have an obstacle, your little $2,000 obstacle, your little relationship problem. I'm not, when I say little, I don't mean insignificant. I just mean small in complexity. God did all that. And by the way, the stem cell issue and how those cells, it's true of every animal that lives. Every animal has the same process. Every creature, more than we even know, that all that information is in that DNA. That in the fish DNA, somehow there's information to create a gill that can take oxygen out of water. You ever think about it that way? Think about it that way. That God put that information. He put the information in a bird's DNA that they would make hollow bones so they wouldn't be heavy so they could fly. Did you know birds have hollow bones? Isn't that a trick? And they would have radar so they can know where they're flying in the air and know how to get back to their nest. That all that's in their DNA. Isn't that amazing? Where'd all that information come from? Oh, the creator of the universe. Let's read. Number four, stop crying and walk. Stop crying and walk. Look what it says in verse 15. It says, the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to walk or go forward. Lift up your rod, stretch out your hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Dear Lord, I want to be a Christian. I want to start reading my Bible. Well, do it then. I can't. Why not? Because I really don't want to. You got problems with your TV? Take the TV out of your house. You got problems with your internet? Take the internet out of your house. You got problems with your friends? Get rid of your friends. When I got saved, my best friend, I got saved. I went out of town. Came back 10 days later, and I told him, we can't hang out anymore. Is he still my friend? Absolutely. Do I still love him to death? Absolutely. But if I was with him, it was no good. Was my commitment to God, did my commitment to God have to be stronger than my commitment to him? Absolutely. Does he know beyond a shadow of a doubt I gave my life to Christ? Absolutely. Did he have an opportunity to give his life? Absolutely. Did he deny it? Absolutely. That's his choice. There are things in your life you just can't say, I got to do it. I got to walk away. You can do that. You can do that. And lastly, look for and believe miracles evidence. Look for and believe miracles evidence. Chapter verse 19, let's read. The angel of the Lord who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to one, and it gave light in the night to the other. So the one did not come near the other all night long. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong wind all that night and made the sea into a dry land, and the waters were divided. The children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on the right and on the left. The Egyptians pursued them and went after them into the midst of the sea, and all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down on the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and the cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians. And he took off their chariot wheels so that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back on the Egyptians, on the chariots, and on their horsemen." Moses stretched out his hand over the sea when the morning appeared, and the sea returned to its full depth while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the army of the Pharaoh that came into the sea, not as so much as one remained. The children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on the right and on the left. And the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore, and thus Israel saw a great work of the Lord that had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. When you see God do something in your life, do you believe it? If you're walking through and you see fish walking, I don't know why y'all weren't just screaming cheering when that happened. I was jacked when I was in a surf time. I was like, yeah, yeah. And God said, whoosh. And the fish swimming through that wall of water. And those little kids were like, I mean, how do you forget that? We're going to see next week they forgot. How'd they forget the lice? How'd they forget the boils? How'd they forget this red, the blood now turned into blood? How'd they forget all that stuff? How do we forget the stuff God does in our life? How many of you honestly, know that you could very well be dead now, have been dead, or died sometime before today? Let me rephrase that question. If you think back in your life, you say, you know what, I could have died there, I could have really died there, I could have really died there, anybody? And you know the only time, the reason you're here is that God saved you. And I'm just talking about your life. I'm not talking about bankruptcy. I'm not talking about relationships. I'm talking about other stuff he saves you. You know how easily we forget that? And you know how we forget it? How we know we forget it? When we complain about stuff, when we complain about and worry about him not doing it again. The Egyptians walked through the miracle that God performed for them. But what was a miracle to the Israel was a grave to the Egyptians. The same thing is true with the cross. Jesus Christ is either a miracle to you for life or your grave. When I was on a plane yesterday talking to this other guy, we got into evolution, the homosexuality issue, the tolerance issue, and he says to me, I have a problem when people like what you're telling me say things that exclude people from heaven. I says, no, you don't understand. I understand people, it sounds that way, but let me explain it to you this way. If you were going to go into that bathroom up there in front of the plane, and I knew there was somebody in that bathroom that was going to kill you, wouldn't you want me to tell you? Now, you can go if you want, but I just want to let you know that you're going to die. Now, wouldn't you really appreciate it if I told you that? That's all I'm trying to tell you. Salvation is open to anybody. But if you're believing something that's wrong, and I believe that you're believing something that's wrong, and I got a whole lot of evidence to verify and prove that you believe in something's wrong, wouldn't you want me to at least warn you to give you a fair opportunity to have the right information? That's all I'm trying to tell you. And Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead, and guess what? A lot of people ascribe to their religion and their leader something that only Christ claimed to offer. And what Christ is claiming to offer you is eternal life. And so all I want you to know is that either you accept him as Lord or you be judged by him as Lord. He could either be a miracle or your grave.
It's up to you. So we're going to take communion in a minute. And before we take communion, I want to challenge you, if you never asked Christ to be your Savior, to ask him today. Because he wants to forgive you. He does not want to exclude you. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness and your goodness. And Lord, there may be somebody here today who knows they need you to forgive them of their sin. If that's you, pray with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, please forgive me of all my sin. Please be my Savior this morning. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want to be born all over again, God. Thank you, Lord. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer and today you're saying, Lord, please forgive me, just slip your hand up real high. We can see you and pray for you. You want God to forgive you. God bless you. Good. Very good. God bless you. 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 Good. You can put your hands down. Lord, thank you for those people. I pray you transform their life. Thank you for being good to us, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Two things. I want you to hold the bread and the juice. But after we take communion, if you raise your hand or you want prayer for anything, I'm just going to ask you just to come up. We have people who want to pray for you and give you a book. Bring your family, your friends who brought you here so we can just follow up with you. So hold the bread and hold the juice, and then we'll take it together.